The Guardian.
Football Daily from Euro 2008.
Day two in the Football Daily House featured footballing snails in wigs, Steve McClaren, and Group B. In Vienna, Austria failed to waltz past Croatia. In Klagenfurt, Germany beat Poland at football and plastic chair throwing. We relive all the excitement of Sunday's action and look forward to Monday as the group of death, no, not Westlife, gets underway. Romania, France, Italy, Holland, we preview the action. All that, plus more top Euro 2008 news and your posts in Football Daily.
Football Daily with James Richardson and Barry Glendenning from Euro 2008.
Well, yes, indeed. Here we are again at the Gusser Beer Clinic in downtown Vienna, Austria, where I am joined by Barry Glendenning.
Guten Tag, James, Alice, Claire.
Indeed so, cultural Barry fellow. Barney Rona, you're back.
I certainly am.
And sharing a mic with Kevin McCara.
Yes, I'm here on the pretext of covering the game involving Croatia, but really because I was getting lonely and missed the pod.
Touched to hear you say it, Kevin. And you and Barney were both at the game. Barney, you went there on the train and there were some touching songs being sung.
Well, I was particularly touched at a rendition of Vos in die Engländer by the Austria fans, which in a crowded tube train full of Croatians and Austrians.
What does it mean?
It means, where are the English? And we seem to amuse everyone. And they all sang God Save the Queen very loudly. Put everyone in a very good mood.
Crikey. Laughing at foreigners' expenses. The Guardian and the Canstable will be doing that soon enough, of course. Now, we should say sorry about the audio yesterday. Various people asking us to kind of strap a duvet to the roof. And producer Pete has taped up bedding to the walls. So we've got even more continental coverage than usual. Quilt over our heads. Right, on that note, on to today's headlines before we get into the in-depth analysis, and bong.
More bad news for the exchange rate. Chelsea have found out £20 million gets you one franc, if that franc is Bayern Munich and France star Frank Ribery. The Bayern midfielder, who's been playing out of his skin of late, not a bad idea in his case, that's James Richardson's joke, not mine, reportedly the subject of the latest mega bucks offer from the Stamford Bridge outfit.
Bong. England's hopes of landing the 2018 World Cup have been complicated by news that tiny Arab state Qatar also want to host the tournament. FIFA are unlikely to award the event to such a footballing minnow. Qatar, on the other hand, must stand a real chance.
Bong. It's all downhill for Switzerland, with news that Alexander Frey has partially ruptured a ligament in his left knee in their 1-0 defeat at the hands of the Czech Republic. He'll be out for the rest of the tournament, leaving his team as likely to score as a panda with a headache.
Bong. And Portuguese keeper Quim has withdrawn from Euro 2008 with an injured wrist. Quim, who's Ricardo's backup in goal for Portugal, is a decent keeper, but not popular with fans as he's known for his flaps.
That's curtains for Quim, Jim.
Football Daily from the Gerser Beer Clinic, Vienna, for Euro 2008.
Right. Now, the big news Sunday evening, of course, was Germany. Many people's favourites laying down a big marker on the tournament with a 2-0 victory over the Poles in Klagenfurt. Raphael Honigstein now joining us on the line. Raphael, are you a happy man?
I am a happy man. I'm very happy with the result. And as you know, we had this terrible record of no wins since 96. Finally, we can put that to bed and people have to come up with a new stat.
No. What new stat do you think they'll be coming up with, Rafa?
I don't know. Maybe a record of European championship winners, fourth time. That would be nice to me. Mm.
I've got a stat for you, Rafa. Apparently there were only 7,000 Germans at the game tonight, and you were arrogantly presuming or giving out before the tournament started that the matches should be held in bigger stadiums to allow all the many hundreds and thousands of Germans who you said would be travelling to go to the games.
It looked to me as if there were more than 7,000, but I'd take various words for it.
Yeah, I counted them all.
Now, Podolski, who comes from Polish descent, he didn't seem to be celebrating. Was that something, a kind of nod to his fatherland and that?
I thought it was extraordinary, actually, because, the story with him and Klose is a little bit more complicated than people think. It's not as if, they somehow brought them in as Poles and they made them Germans. They only came to Germany because they were of German descent to begin with, of German ethnicity. They came as small kids, so nobody knew that they were going to turn out to be footballers. But the fact that it seemed to matter so much to him and he didn't want to offend the emotions of the Poles, I thought was quite remarkable. I haven't seen that from him before because he has scored before against them.
Because, Rafael, the reason we're talking about Podolski is because if he scored again, I mean, isn't it, according to TV, it's something like 26 for Germany. You can't get a game for Bayern. Why this discrepancy?
I think, you know, obviously it's difficult to get a game when you've got Luca Toni and Klose in front of you. And of course, one thing that he has done in Germany and what he did tonight is play on the left, which is an idea from the chief scout, who's a Swiss guy, Urs Siegenthaler from the national team. He came up with that. Bayern tried it a couple of times, found him a little bit slow, but it certainly worked tonight.
Rafa, I have money on Mario Gomes to be top scorer in the tournament. He played quite well tonight in that he got in several great scoring positions, and quite badly in that he missed them all. Some terrible chances. What did you make of his performance?
Well, I also thought he was a good shout for goal scorer of the tournament, and I think he has looked a little bit rusty in the postseason. Even in the test matches, he had similar positions, similar chances which he didn't convert. Although I have to say, I think the first chance was really Klose's mistake. A, he should have passed it earlier, and B, he overhit it. So I think Gomez looked stupid, but it was actually Klose's fault.
Next up for the Germans, of course, they'll be taking on Croatia. I say, of course, I'm looking at this on a piece of paper. They'll be taking on the Croatians on June the 12th. You're presumably quite optimistic about their chances.
Yeah, I am. I think Croatia disappointed me a little bit today. I mean, I don't know if that was because of some superhuman effort from the Austrians, who really played out of their skins, or whether the Croatians are perhaps not as good as some people thought after Wembley. I mean, they seem to disintegrate in the second half, and I wonder just how good this team is. So I think Germany, even though they weren't convincing themselves for 90 minutes, I think it's fair to say, will go into that game with even more confidence now.
Brilliant. Rafael, we're going to have hopefully lots more chances to speak to you throughout the tournament. So many thanks for that brief but incisive insight, and speak to you soon.
Thanks, James. And you can do all the jokes about Schweinsteiger's hairstyle now with me off the phone.
What jokes?
I was shocked. I thought he was going to be sent off for that.
No, it was quite an extraordinary affair. Is that's something that new that he's sporting, is it?
This is a total disgrace.
I don't know.
Reminds me a bit of the mono pony that Ronaldo had in 2002.
Did you ever see the show Terrorhawks back in the '80s? No. Okay. Well, never mind. We'll move on. Right. Okay.
See you later.
Cheers, Rafael. Rafael Honigstein of the Süddeutsche Zeitung, and many other places, including his exciting new football website, which we should give a quick plug to, which is called footbo.com. You can get all sorts of top insight and cheesy puns there.
We went to Vienna for Euro 2008, and all you got was this lousy podcast.
Two people, of course, who were there, as I mentioned, at the Ernst Happel Stadium, where Austria failed to get a Happel turnover, I guess, against Croatia this afternoon, were, of course, our very own Kevin and Barney. And what did you make, Kevin, of the match?
Well, the interesting thing was, afterwards, Slaven Bilic seemed slightly rattled. He was giving contradictory explanations. At one point, he said, well, we weren't really exhausted. We just sort of dropped back a bit because you're 1-0 ahead. That happens. You want to hold on and win. And then he said later on, yes, they were absolutely knackered. You know, so that was curious. Eccentric behaviour. The team was a bit down. So after the game, he played a Croatian popular beat combo. Thompson, are they called? Is that right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yes, to try and cheer up the players. They started very well. And
I think actually producer Pete can allow us to share in the delights of Football Daily, the home of Croatian rock.
That's certainly raised my spirits.
I must say, I think that'll do the trick. We'll beat Germany, no problem now.
Or you get to hear more of that.
I have to say, between games, I went for a walk down the street just to try and walk off some of the extraordinarily large plate of meat I ate for dinner. I saw all the Croatian fans coming back into town, and they didn't look that upbeat. They didn't look like fans who were really happy. Or
well, they ran out of gas so quickly. I mean,
Well, 25 minutes, basically. Yeah. Having said that, 25 minutes, they destroyed Austria. I mean, I'm giving Austria credit because you have to in the paper tomorrow. But let's face it, they really are pretty rubbish football players, but they put in a huge effort, and they were banging the ball into the goal mouth to no great effect. But the Croatian goalkeeper won Man of the Match award because he was busy, Stevo Plitakosa. So,
well, they like to give it to people who handle, I think, on the basis of the game yesterday with Swiss. No Eduardo, of course, the big thing that everyone was talking about before the tournament for Croatia, and it does seem like that might be an issue for them.
Yeah, they all know they have one forward, don't they? We're talking about the other one, Marnie, but
yeah, they seem kind of dangerously obsessed with the lack of Eduardo in their team. His reputation has increased dramatically since he stopped playing, and he's now on a par with kind of Pelé, Maradona, Cruyff. We don't have Eduardo, therefore we can't win a tournament. Which suggests that they're possibly not that much strength in depth there.
Immediately after the game, we spoke to Kranjčar in the mix zone, and he was straight away saying, well, any team would miss Eduardo. I mean, I know Eduardo's good, but they're making a kind of fetish out of this. I guess so. When you see Mladen Petric playing tonight, he was very unimpressive, and it is a fact that they've got maybe one forward at the moment.
Well, this also was a team that was built in qualifying, that it was basically designed around his goals.
Yeah, I mean, that was a 10 he scored.
In 12, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's good going. It didn't... I think at Arsenal he was still settling in. Maybe we underrate him, but for Croatia, he's hugely effective. But nonetheless, no matter what, if a player's injured, he's injured. These things happen. You can't spend your whole life obsessing about it.
Barney, you bumped into Arsene Wenger, I believe, in the stadium.
I did bump into Arsene Wenger, wearing a very strangely coloured suit, a kind of brown colour.
Right. And what's wrong with that?
Well, it looks very nice on you, James. It's a very strange colour. I mean, I asked him if he was here to look at any players in particular, and he looked mysterious in response.
All right. He's good at that, of course. I'm not sure what that means. Yeah. We had the pleasure of listening to Five Lions commentary in the first half, of the Austria-Croatia game, which, of course, featured the vocal talents of Steve McLaren. What was your top quote from him?
Hold on, if I just look at my expensive Moses skin notebook. There was one he had. If they're going to score, Austria, this is where they're going to score, as the camera panned across the Croatian goal. So no stating of the obvious there. And then Pogatets, I think, got... Well, Pogatets should have been sent off probably about five times, I think, but the referee must have photographs of the referee in a compromising position with a goat or something. But McLaren said, you know, his career's been littered with bans and red cards, and that's just in training. Hark back to their time at Middlesbrough.
Yeah, like a light-hearted touch.
Yeah.
It was quite shocking, actually. I mean, how on earth did they avoid that second yellow card? I mean, the referee's dereliction of duty comes to mind.
Well, you wonder why. It should have been a yellow card and he should have been sent off. But
professional foul, wasn't it?
Someone here had the theory, I think it was, that the ref went, oh, well, it's only Austria and, you know, we don't want to upset the host nation.
Yeah,
so,
that's probably true.
They'll lose the game anyway. Mm. Yeah. Now, all sorts of other excitements today, and including snails in wigs on playing football on television. We turned on in a brief interlude between the matches to a top Austrian station, ORF, ORF. And they had managed to reenact some classic match from yesteryear with, this man had built a pitch and he'd put these snails and they were gently making their way around a kind of Mark Vidukarest pace around the pitch with these bizarre blonde afro wigs glued, presumably, to their poor snail skulls.
Yes.
Why, Barry? Why?
I don't know.
Right.
I honestly thought the argument we had this morning about who would win a fight between Bruce Hornsby in the Range and Huey Lewis in the News would be the most surreal exchange I was involved in, or the most surreal thing I'd been involved in. But then, yes, snails and wigs on Austrian TV.
Right. And we also asked the question, what happened when Bruce Hornsby went solo? Was he deranged?
Yes.
But anyway.
If any listeners have a satisfactory answer to that question, perhaps they could... Yeah, I would like to say it's a pity we don't have a video camera in here, because then we could show the snails and we could also show how Barney and Kevin look like Boy George and Karen from a Bananarama in the Band-Aid video, by the way,
sharing
a microphone.
Right, okay, not for any other reason.
Not just
that. We also went to the fans' camp. I think there is some plan to put the snails on TV, quite literally on TV, or back on TV, but that'll be in the days to come when things begin to drag a little. Are we going to talk about the fans' camp that we visited today, or should we save that for another time? You want to write a blog on this, don't you?
Well, we visited the fans' camp.
But we're going to post the video, I think, about this sometime in the near future.
Sometime during the week. We were told not to be too time-specific when we were talking about things. Because, it's when we run out of things to do.
Tomorrow, I think. Now, I believe it is going up tomorrow, all joking aside. A couple of posts, if we can move on from Sunday's action. Anybody want to add anything else about the Group B? No? Good. Now, a couple of people talking about Saturday's games. DN Wong, hello to you in Hong Kong, suggesting a headline for Saturday's game. The Swiss now have a mountain to climb. Excellent stuff. Dirk, what a testament to English scouting Kazim Richards is. English scouts deem him only good enough to play for teams like Bury, Brighton and Sheffield United, but Zico sees him and feels he's good enough to play for the Turkish champions in the Champions League. I saw Kazim Richards do more on the right for Turkey in the Portugal game than I've seen Beckham do in the last 5 years, and yet to see Bentley do, his long-term replacement in the England team. What do you reckon?
Well, yeah, I thought what a great first touch he had as well, watching. I mean, I'm not really all that familiar with Colin Kazim Richards, apart from I know who he is, obviously. But he seemed to have a really natural ability. I was amazed.
But when he played for Sheffield United, his stats weren't particularly impressive at all. You know, but then he was playing up front, I think, for them, and he got one goal the season they were in the Premier League.
I just think Kazim Richards is a brilliant story because this is exactly what English raised players should be doing. They should be going abroad, playing in foreign leagues, improving themselves, going and playing in Holland. You won't see it happen. Steve Sidwell will not go and play for Ajax in the Champions League. He'll sit in the Chelsea reserve.
Sigh of relief there from Dutch fans everywhere. <isn't it?
laughs> No, it's a great story. He's done a great thing going abroad, which is the kind of thing people do in the industry.
Did you reckon it's improved then? I mean, can people get technique at that age that they didn't have before?
That's an interesting question.
Well, all right then.
You can in the bedroom.
Yes. Stefano the Saddler. Ronaldo was average in the Portugal game. He reckons it because Ian Richard far outshone Ronaldo, who did all right but didn't exactly carry the nation. Barton 0503 in Deutschland. Why hasn't there been a mention of two outrageous installations in Vienna and Zurich yet? The Zurich one I haven't seen, but there's certainly one that we did see, which he mentions, is the Petr Cech on the Vienna big wheel, you know, the wheel in the Prater, where you've got Cech in the middle and then in a kind of Vishnu arrangement. There's like eight Cech hands arranged behind him.
Yeah, surely that's cheating.
Indeed so. Yalen Red in Vienna. I completely agree with the posters who recommend ice cream from Tuk Laban. And we went down by Barry to sample, said...
We had some lovely ice cream. We've had quite a cultural gastronomic day today. I've had strudel, ice cream, several random kinds of Croatian and Viennese meat. And I desperately need some fibre in my diet.
Right, I would say that
you haven't a chance of getting into the toilet in the flat tomorrow morning.
Lovely. The diet here puts the gas into gastronomic.
Football daily from The Guardian at Euro 2008.
On to Group C then. I think Monday's action, the group of death. Italy, Holland, France, Romania. At least one big name has got to go from this group. Monday should give us some clues as to who. And Kevin, you're heading off to the Italy-Holland game, yeah?
Yes, I am indeed. And I suppose there's a mystery of Holland. Do you think the squad still looks quite good on paper? Although they have injuries, and everyone seems to have injuries in that group now. Italy have a doubt about Panucci. You think he might play?
Well, Cannavaro, of course, already out because of that ankle injury.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Maybe Romania, the only ones who don't seem concerned. France, I wonder how they'll last the tournament, if they're really going to depend on, you know, Henri and his bad back.
But I thought Henri not already out of this game?
Oh, no, I mean, I meant over the course of the tournament. But Romania are maybe the only team there that don't seem to be suffering unduly in terms of injuries at the moment.
Well, they did so well in the qualifying. Do you think they are a decent chance for dark horses at all?
Well, certainly Fabio Capello does, and who am I to disagree with the great man? He was saying that he thought every team would find that group extremely hard and Romania would make it difficult for everyone else. But I'm not so sure, and I've lost faith because I thought Poland might do something and they were beaten quite easily with Germany tonight. So maybe the qualifiers are not a good guide to what's going to happen in the tournament.
Adrian Mutu learning yesterday that FIFA had told him he's got to pay 9.6 million back to Chelsea. I don't know if that's going to affect his game at all.
It would certainly affect my game if FIFA told me I had to pay 9. I mean, I know footballers are incredibly wealthy, but 9 point whatever million is a hell of a lot of money. Mm. And it would probably wipe him out financially and leave him in serious debt. Mm. Because if he had an expensive coal cabinet, he'd probably not that wealthy anyway.
Well, he'll need a cracking signing on for his next club. There's a motivation to excel at this tournament.
I don't know if clubs would come in, or a club would be benevolent enough to pay, you know, that kind of fine for a player just to keep him sweet and informed. But
right.
I think two big names are going to go out of that group because I think Romania are going to qualify.
Right. Well, I remember you saying this in the preview, and who do you think are the big names that's going to survive?
Italy.
Right.
Of course, always.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, they've had problems at the group stage before. Of course, the last European Championships under Trapattoni. So, Romania-France, you're forecasting an upset in that the early game yesterday. Tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't fancy France this year.
Barney?
I think France will win that game.
Right, okay. And Kevin, you're in two minds, isn't
it? I have doubts about France. I think a lot depends on whether guys like Benzema can take over the major role, maybe a bit too soon for some of them. So.
Meanwhile, Italy, Holland, Barney, you're making the excellent point that Italy have displayed a certain amount of confidence in their accommodation arrangements for the tournament.
Well, they're based in Vienna, despite the fact that all their games are in Switzerland.
It's for the ice cream, probably, isn't it?
Possibly, or just to be near the pod. But they're not going to play in Vienna until the semi-finals, which seems incredibly cocky.
Right.
And it kind of makes you want them to go out somehow.
Yes. Speaking of people being based in Vienna because of the pod, I noticed you said yesterday that, you know, this is where we are, come and visit us if you're in Vienna. And they haven't exactly been beating the door down to come and meet us, have they? Well, although Kevin does have a good story.
Oh, Kevin?
The other day in the accreditation centre, some guy said, a volunteer said, "Are you the bloke from the pod?" And I admitted I was. So,
right.
And is it not true that he asked you to pose for a photograph with him?
Yes, I was very flattered. No one's ever wanted to be posed with him before, so it was fantastic.
Pod groupies, it's the way forward.
Oof. Just to mention, we are in the Gusa Beer Clinic every day. All this month. Good. Now, Italy, Holland in Bern, all very exciting. Van Basten and Donadoni, former Milan teammates, so all sorts of sentimental overtones to that match. And Holland, of course, already had their disciplinary problems. Seedorf walking out pre-thingy.
And then the shock of Arjen Robben being injured. You know, so they have to contend with that as well. But,
and what about Van Persie? Because there is now talk that he's going to be fit again for this match.
Yeah, for about 10 minutes or so, I suppose, before a recurrence. But there's this question too, but why are Holland so dull? I mean, they still seem to have players here that should score goals, don't they? But they reckon to be a bit of a dull dog.
Right, well, they certainly managed to tighten things up at the back in the qualifying. I think they conceded fewer goals than anybody else, or at least they were equal best defensively in the qualifying.
Are you talking about the Dutch?
Yeah.
Who conceded three goals against Austria.
But that was in a friendly. But actually in the qualifiers, they did get very, very tight. But it's not the classic Dutch fashion. Italy, meanwhile, come in full of optimism and certain players in lots of form, especially this chap Antonio Di Natale, who is a late bloomer, a bit in the vein of Luca Toni, but has, I think, got a lock on that left attacking midfielder position that normally Del Piero might occupy, and it's a good shout to really impress at this tournament. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Cassano, who there was such a kind of a public swell of opinion to bring him along, being considered as an impact player, and hopefully on the field as opposed to in the locker room and with his other antics. But the big question, of course, at the back, Kevin, you were going to say?
I was going to mean, age is a big question. Do you think that if they can cope with an intense schedule over 3 weeks? If they go all the way,
they've done it before. I mean, I think 2006 they coped admirably with it.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's 2 years on now, isn't it?
Well, it is.
Yeah,
fair point. Yeah. Okay. Nothing really to add that. I think we'll just wrap up for the night. Kevin, you're off then on a plane, thank goodness, to see that game in Bern, and Barney, you're off to Spain and not to see Spain train.
Yeah, tomorrow I'm going to Innsbruck
in the rain, possibly. Sorry?
I'm going to Innsbruck tomorrow, just to watch Spain train, and then Spain-Russia, I think, the day after.
Is it true, Barney, that the Guardian have put you in an abandoned ski resort on your own, like Jack Nicholson in The Shining?
I'm not sure I'd use the word abandoned. I think kind of dormant or sort of closed down for the winter.
Right.
It's a strange one, but I'm looking forward to it.
So your next blog will just be all work and no play. Makes Barney a dull boy, repeatedly.
Right. As I say, time to go then, listeners. And many, many thanks for joining us, Kevin, because I know you've got an early start tomorrow morning.
Thank you.
And you, Barney Rono.
Thank you very much.
Many, many thanks to our boss, Matt, from The Guardian, who'll be returning to England, actually, tomorrow. Pete, who's there on the Wheels of Steels and the knobs and stuff. And you, Barry. And you, the listeners. And we'll be back tomorrow, should you wish, at the Gusa Beer Clinic in downtown Vienna, Austria. Just around the corner from the ice cream place. And
At the end of the second match.
At the end of the second match. We'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places. Bye-bye for now.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.